Now, you've probably seen a growing uproar of public and politically fueled conversations as the Australian government has banned Australian citizens from coming home from India as the situation becomes increasingly dire in the country. It's raising many questions. Is it legal? Apologies for that. Is it legal? Is a High Court challenge an option? Joining us now to provide insight on the issue is Dr. Sangeetha Pillay, an expert in travel law from UNSW. How's it going?
Good, thanks for having me.
No, it's my pleasure. So I guess first of all, for the listener, for me, as it stands, 9,000 Australians remain stranded of sorts in India. Can you break down the current ban enforced by Minister Hunt under Section 447 by the book for us?
Yeah, so essentially the Biosecurity Act gives the Health Minister, it was expanded when the COVID pandemic hit last year, to give the Health Minister, Greg Hunt, essentially broad powers to implement like any requirement that he deems necessary to prevent the entry and spread of COVID into Australia. And so under that power, the Minister imposed effectively a travel ban, saying that it will, if anybody has been in India in the last 14 days and they try to enter Australia, then they will face pretty severe criminal penalties. So, yeah, that's the gist of it.
So there's been talks of kind of up to 5 years in jail. Like any kind of law, there is also, like, it's in pretty kind of, like, it's pretty black or white, most laws, that if you do this, this will happen. If someone was to return from India, how on earth would they get here if it's banned? And is it likely that someone could be jailed for up to 5 years?
It's not likely for a number of reasons. Firstly, because it would be very difficult for somebody to get to Australia in the first place from India. I mean, I think the ban was designed to close a loophole that might have presented where there were flights running between India and Australia, but it was trying to close off the possibility of people travelling from India to third countries where flights were still running and making it back that way. The Prime Minister has since come out and said that the intention would not be to use the penalties under the Biosecurity Act. So, I mean, if they've kind of suggested that if someone did make it home, prosecution wouldn't be the line that they chose to go down. That was something that they said after significant community backlash.
Sure.
Came out in response to the ban. So it's not likely somebody would make it back before the ban lifts on the 15th, and not likely they would face the full extent of the law if they did.
Sure. What about the cricketers that are over there? There's been plenty of conversation about that as well. And so Cricket Australia, well, it was majority kind of instigated by Cricket Australia, was to bring all the Australian cricketers that were over there for the IPL. And as it stands, kind of they're coming through third countries, and they previously did before that ban was kind of put down. But I don't know, there's cricketers in the Caribbean, and then in the, or the plans are that they would either come through the Middle East and such. What's the kind of ruling about that? Is this another example of, I don't know, notable people, similar to footballers last year, being able to travel state to state when others weren't? Or I don't know, are they going to be turned away at the border?
Well, nobody who's been in India in the last 14 days is allowed to come back before flights recommence on the 15th of this month. So that applies to the cricketers as much as anybody else. I suppose, like, there's two ways to look at the situation of the cricketers. One is that, like, these are people that, as I understand it, what has been done for cricketers throughout the world who have been in India is that they've either been removed to other countries, or in any case they've had isolation facilities set up where multiple COVID tests administered, and so you would think there's a high likelihood that those people are safe when they're leaving because they've been removed. And so a question arises there about whether there's any community protection benefit of,
sure,
like, barring them from entering because they're in such a safe environment. On the other hand, like, they have the privilege of being in a much safer environment than the other Australian citizens and permanent residents that are stranded in India and, you know, exposed to a very high risk of COVID in a country with a collapsing health system, and therefore kind of putting the Indian population at greater risk as well because they're increasing the strain.
Sure. Is it? Have you spoken to anyone, any other Australian citizen that's in India at the moment?
I haven't spoken to any, but I understand a number of journalists have.
I see. So have you got an idea of kind of what the situation is in the public in India? Obviously, like per capita, it's got one of the highest kind of the amount of people, I suppose, in the globe. So I'd imagine they're quite squished together. And I guess like walking around just in society, are there measures in place similar that we had in Australia over the last year or so to try to mitigate this? Or I don't know, people, I suppose there's still people in the stands or whatever it is going to the IPL and such. Are they pretty, cavalier about it?
I don't know the system in detail, but like the situation there in detail. But I think what is clear is that the health system is on the brink of collapse, and like it's very hard to maintain like a sense of, you know, that we're very lucky in Australia to be able to manage our day-to-day affairs in such an orderly fashion, because we've got number of like we're very far away from the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. We've been able to like prevent COVID, like it helped very much by that. We've been able to prevent COVID from getting into the general like population in a big way, and so we've had the luxury of being able to do things like, you know, keep everybody inside if there's even one case. You don't have that luxury when your health system is completely overwhelmed. People are having to source oxygen for their dying families, like themselves, because the hospitals have run out. It's pretty dire. And I think a very real question there is, if we're in such a privileged position and we've got people stranded in a situation where the country is under such strain and the citizens of that country are under such strain, and we have the capacity to help both our own people by taking them out of a very high-risk environment as well as the other country by not making our people their problem, then legally there's an argument we should do it, and certainly morally there's an argument we should do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Could this affect something like, migration, something in the future, or, people applying for permanent residency and stuff like this? Will it leave a bad taste in the mouth of kind of maybe some Indian communities around the country, or is that just yet to be seen?
It is yet to be seen, but it certainly could. And we've already seen things like a number of, like not just with this particular policy, but with Australia's approach to managing COVID being very closed border hardline in that sense. We've seen international students who were previously planning to come to Australia going to the UK instead, for instance, because it's a little bit easier to kind of get in there. So it very well could have consequences, but I suppose what they are will remain to be seen.
Sure things. Thanks so much for joining the show this morning. I do appreciate your time. Have a good week.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks, Sangeetha. That was Dr. Sangeetha Pillai, an expert in travel law from UNSW, shedding interesting insight into the legality surrounding the current travel ban from people in India entering Australia, whether they be citizens or cricketers like you just heard.